Hi, and welcome to the Kubernetes podcast from Google. I'm Adam Glick.
And I'm Craig Box.
Hey, Craig, what's been going on this week?
Last week, we talked about the impending purchase of GitHub, and it's obviously become real.
Indeed.
It's been interesting to see the response of people who worry about Microsoft based on their opinions from the past. But I would say that especially the new CEO, Nat Friedman, who has been a longtime Linux and open source user and company builder building Zimian, who were the GNOME company and working on Mono and things like the Xamarin platform based on that for mobile app development, which was eventually acquired by Microsoft. I would say that I'm optimistic about the GitHub platform under his leadership, and it'll be interesting to see where things go.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that Microsoft will become more prolific in the open source community and contribute much more to it. And I hope that this is part of an ongoing trend for them to really get more involved. I think that'd be great for everybody. So I'm hopeful.
Absolutely. And their involvement with Kubernetes has obviously been a good sign in that direction.
Indeed. Craig, you want to go over the news?
Do I what? Regional clusters are now generally available in Google Kubernetes Engine. One of the most commonly requested enterprise features, regional clusters create a multi-master, highly available Kubernetes environment that spreads both the control plane and the nodes across multiple zones in a region. This raises the cluster SLA to 99.95%. In addition to the increased availability, regional clusters give you a zero downtime upgrade experience so that your cluster is always available for deployments. The great news is that regional clusters are free to deploy, the same as zonal clusters, and in both cases, you only pay for the nodes you run. Google Cloud also released KubeMCI, which allows you to use the Google Cloud Load Balancer for multi-cluster environments. KubeMCI allows you to use a Kubernetes ingress definition to connect the Cloud Load Balancer to multiple Kubernetes Engine clusters running in regions around the world using a single Anycast IP address. This allows you to serve traffic from the closest cluster, taking advantage of GCP's 100-plus points of presence and global network. KubeMCI is a command line tool, and a controller-based multi-cluster ingress solution based on it is in the works. The Helm project has moved from a sub-project of Kubernetes to an incubation project in the Cloud Native Computing Foundation. Today's Helm project started as a merger between what is now Helm Classic, originally developed by Deis, and the Kubernetes Deployment Manager, built by Google Cloud. This move allows Kubernetes to continue to scope its focus to its core componentry and acknowledges the growth in the Helm community, with more than 300 contributors to the code and 800 contributors to the charts repository. One user of Helm is Etsy, the craft marketplace, who deploy to Google Kubernetes Engine. This week, they published a blog post about their deployment workflow, and you can find a link to that post in the show notes. Microsoft, after last week acquiring the Atom code editor for $7.5 billion, has this week announced tools for Kubernetes in its older half-sibling, Visual Studio. While VS Code, the cross-platform editor, which is very similar to Atom, has had Kubernetes tools for some time, this is the first such support for the Visual Studio platform, which was first released under that name in 1997. The tools for Visual Studio include support for generating Docker files and Helm charts, as well as integrated deployments to Azure's Kubernetes service. Speaking of clouds and control planes, Amazon's Elastic Container Service for Kubernetes, or EKS, is now generally available. EKS is a managed control plane for Kubernetes, as opposed to a fully managed Kubernetes service, as you have to bring, manage, and update your own nodes. Congratulations to Amazon for their launch, and we look forward to seeing contributions from AWS to the upstream Kubernetes community. Finally, in our first episode, we told you about Sandeep Dinesh's Kubernetes Best Practice blog and video series. The final episode in the series has just been published, coincidentally on upgrading clusters with zero downtime using GKE regional clusters and node pools. You'll find a link to this and all the other episodes in the show notes. That's this week's news.
Today's guest is Philip Whitrock, software engineer with Google Cloud. Philip is one of the creators of the Customize project. Welcome, Philip.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. For the people listening, can you tell us, what is Customize, spelled with a K?
Customize is a command line tool that's used with Kubernetes YAML files to help run workloads on a Kubernetes cluster.
And where did you come up with the idea for Customize?
The idea for Customize came from Brian Grant. Brian Grant evaluated a number of different options for writing YAML config. And really the problem Customize is trying to solve is how to allow users to more easily write the YAML config that kubectl apply uses to manage a Kubernetes cluster. And it came from him doing a lot of evaluation of different internal solutions we had inside Google and coming up with a new approach that we hadn't really seen before.
How is the customized solution different than just using YAML files that people are familiar with today?
Excellent question. So it tries to be as similar as possible to that workflow. There are a number of points of friction when using just raw YAML files, and this is where Customize comes in. One of the first pieces of friction is that there are a number of things that are just cumbersome to do with YAML files, such as creating a secret. The secret requires base64 encoding some binary file. And so this is an extra step that one would normally need to write some bash script for that does pre-processing on some binary file before ending up with the YAML files. A human wouldn't write that. Another sort of UX friction issue is wanting to do meta operations across a bunch of YAML files. So you want all the YAML files to have this set of labels applied to all the objects. Or you want them all to have this annotation, or you want them all to have this particular name prefix or these sorts of things. So it allows you to manage a directory or a collection full of YAML files and make sure they all have these specific pieces to them. The third thing that's different about using Customize and kind of the third point of friction is reuse and essentially saying, how do I compose a new solution out of existing YAML files? And I want to vary it by a small piece. So I have my base MySQL config that everyone uses, but you know what? I want to give it a little more memory, or I want to change this, or I want to change that. How do we make that possible while still seeming like you're just editing YAML files? And so Customize provides some solutions for basically saying, take these YAMLs and then make these small tweaks to them.
Would it be fair to think of it as kind of a meta layer on top of the YAML files to help organize them and also to help provide certain parameters so you can have a kind of templated use but not do the same exact deployment to scale up and down, say, for production environments versus dev test environments, and be able to alter that without having to come up with completely separate scripts or collections of YAML files?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. It's a meta layer alongside the YAML files next to it.
How is that related to the Kubernetes project overall?
The Customize tool is developed by a number of maintainers in SigCLI, and that is the set of maintainers that maintain the kubectl tool. And so it's published as a subproject of the SigCLI group, and we are currently evaluating its success and considering whether it should be moved into the kubectl tool.
Gotcha. In the documentation, it mentions that Customize solves several problems using kubectl in a declarative fashion. Is there any reason you didn't fix those problems just directly in kubectl?
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. I think Customize is the way we are hoping to do that. The reason we decided to develop Customize as a separate subproject instead of directly into kubectl, one, this is somewhat of an experiment, both in a process and the solution. The solution is completely novel. It's different than providing a templating mechanism. It's different than providing a new language on top that has special features in it or something like that. So because it was kind of a novel approach, and because we wanted to iterate on it quickly, we decided to create a new repo with its own code source and build it there. And this has been a really actually great experiment for us. It's been working really well because what it allows us to do is, one, it allows us to push code and release it whenever we want. We can do releases as often as we want. We can fix bugs as often as we want. You can file a bug and we can have it pushed, and so you can run that version of Customize with the fix within a day, which is just simply impossible to do if you were building it in the Kubernetes repo. And while we're iterating so quickly, initially it seemed to just make sense to do that until it became stable and we're seeing fewer changes. And at that point, move it into the main Kubernetes repo. The other really nice aspect of this is it is much more approachable to new contributors because they don't need to go through all the Kubernetes setup environment for the development environment and figuring out the pull requests and, you know, freeze code freezes and code slushes and caps and all this sort of thing. And really, you can just clone the Git repo, install Go, make a PR, send the PR, and get it merged as long as you coordinate on what it is you intend to do with the maintainers.
Awesome. It's kind of like the microservices model in building applications applied to software development.
Yes, it's the microservices of Kubernetes development.
Awesome. Is this based off a set of best practices that you've used in other places, or was this just kind of a brilliant idea of Brian Grant and yourself?
I'll give all the credit to Brian Grant.
Fair enough.
I'd say it's a reaction to many of the solutions that we develop internally at Google and tried to use and found somewhat limiting. One of our experiences developing internally at Google was by developing an abstraction layer that has different parameters and then exposing this new abstraction layer as part of the package. So if you're giving me a way of running a Java app, but you're also giving me a completely foreign abstraction layer with it, it become very difficult to use this because every time I want to use a new package, I have to figure out what the special way of using that package is. And so the focus here was to say, okay, how can we make it so that we're not introducing this completely new way of using the system with a new set of parameters for each new package that we're providing? And so we said, well, what if we could just use the APIs directly, and instead of providing a layer on top of the APIs, we just provide a way of transforming those same APIs with some very simple mechanisms.
Gotcha. Some people may be familiar with the Helm-based workflows and using Helm charts in order to kind of do their Kubernetes deployments. How would you compare a customized-based workflow versus a Helm-based workflow?
The Helm-based workflow, I want to say there's several pieces to it, and that tool solves a number of different concerns for users. And so there is an overlap with everything that Helm does. There is one aspect of what Helm tries to solve is allowing reuse of YAML config, right? And also allowing meta operations on YAML config to maybe change three or four things at once through a specific parameter. That is a problem that Customize is trying to solve. In fact, that is basically the only problem Customize is trying to solve is how do we get reuse? How do we get composition? How do we make authoring of the config simpler? The Customize approach works directly with the Kubernetes APIs. And so this means that instead of having someone who writes a Go template and Helm package decide what are the right things to expose to the end user and maybe document them well or not document them well or name them well or not name them well, you're working directly with the Kubernetes APIs. And so there's no choice on what's exposed necessarily. But this means they have to be written slightly differently. So the package that's provided should actually just spin up and work without any customization at all. And then the mix-ins should be applied. So that means the experience is a more native Kubernetes API experience, whereas the Helm experience tends to be at a higher level abstraction layer that someone else exposes a different set of configuration that they think is what's important.
You've talked about a number of the ways that you use and kind of designed Customize for. Is there a particular set of scenarios that you'd say that people should use Customize for? And are there certain scenarios where you don't think Customize is the right solution for people?
Yes. So we're trying to figure this out now. We have some idea based on our own experiences with the tool, but we're also looking for customer engagement and feedback to figure out what doesn't it do well now, but maybe it should do well and seems to be within its scope. And what does it just not, what is it not targeted at? And kind of back to the Helm piece, like it's not targeted at basically anything other than the customization of some YAML configs. And it's not targeted at exposing a simpler interface. And sometimes that is appropriate where you want one or two knobs, like you just want to specify the MySQL image and you don't want anything else, right? And that's the appropriate user view. Mm-hmm. The other case, and similar to that, is the case where you really want a native Kubernetes API and you want to maybe a CRD or an operator or controller, this sort of space. You may want to build something out there. And what that approach allows one to do is actually manage the workload once it's been pushed, right? So you can do maybe roll forwards and rollbacks and backups and this sort of stuff. And so the API extension pattern is much more appropriate for that.
With all the changes that you're doing, how fast do Customize updates come? What's the release cadence that you're targeting?
Well, right now you can just build right off of head. So the notion of a release is not totally fixed. We are tagging releases about every other week. So every 2 weeks we say, okay, like, if you want a specific tag to pull down so that you can reference it for bugs and that sort of stuff, we're pushing those. We are seeing a lot of additions and contributions. We did a blog post recently, and so we've seen actually a number of new contributors that we hadn't seen before coming and adding new features, which has been great, and picking up issues. We have been merging changes daily. sometimes more than one or two changes a day, which is we're pretty happy with given the scope of the tool to have that level of additions.
That's really great. As you're kind of looking forward with this, what are the things that are kind of next on the list that you want to build into Customize?
Yeah, so there's two things that we've come across that we know folks want. We considered holding off our launch or our blog post until we produced those features and decided actually, you know, it's more appropriate just to put it in users' hands and actually let the users tell us if those are the most important things or if there's actually something else they want to see. But it turns out the things that we were on our list are actually the two first things users encountered and said, yes, we want those things, which is always great to have that sanity check that you have some notion of what you need to do. And so those two things are, the first is modifying namespaces. So I mentioned that one of the things that Customize tries to address is how do I manage a change across a bunch of YAML files? And when I add a new YAML file, that YAML file gets the change and not worry about, oh, did I update the label on everything or did I forget one of the files? And so one of those changes is namespaces. It's a pretty common use case to say, hey, I have this directory and all the stuff in this directory really should run in this namespace. So having Customize be able to say, okay, any YAML file that I'm customizing should get this namespace addition to it. The second one is something we're referring to as using the downward API, because that's kind of the internal technical solution of the problem. But the specific problem is in your YAML config, oftentimes users reference other YAML, right? So an example of this is you have a secret in one YAML config, and then you have a command line argument that references that secret and your deployment config, right? And so when you make a change to, say, the secret name, for instance, how do you then make sure that everything that's referencing that secret name also gets updated, right? This would be a problem if you were just using regular YAML files as well. It's not unique to Customize, but Customize does make it easier to make changes to your files, and its goal is to make it so you can do kind of these high-level meta transformations. And so the problem we're trying to solve is that when you apply a certain change or transformation, that we're able to understand every place that would be impacted by that change and propagate the change there.
Cool. So if I wanted to go learn more about Customize, how to use it, try it out myself, get involved in the project, where should I go?
The GitHub repo is the first place. It's in a Kubernetes SIGS repo. So that's Kubernetes-SIGS in GitHub, Customize with a K. I'm not going to try and spell it out. I'm sure I would fumble that one.
We'll put that into the show notes. So anyone who's curious can just look in the show notes. There'll be a link there, GitHub repo.
Excellent. That would be the first place to engage upon and look at the open issues. If you're interested in contributing, look at the open issues and comment on one. You can engage. I think there's a Slack channel for Customize. You can direct message or add mention myself, P. Whitrock. You can probably add my GitHub handle to the notes as well. Or Jeff Reagan is one of the other maintainers who would be a great person to reach out to. Engage with us. That's if you want to contribute. If you just want to use the tool and play around with the code or see what's going on, go right there, clone the repo, build it, and have some fun.
Thanks, Bill. It was really great having you on to talk about Customize.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
That's about all we have time for this week. If you want to learn more about Customize, you can check out github.com/Kubernetes-SIGS/Customize, spelled KUSTOMIZE. It'll also be in our show notes.
Thanks for listening. As always, if you enjoyed the show, please help us spread the word and tell a friend. If you have any feedback for us, you can find us on Twitter at KubernetesPod or reach us by email at KubernetesPodcast@google.com.
You can also check out our website at KubernetesPodcast.com. Until next time, take care.
Bye-bye.